This evening I have just two verses. I'm going to read just one from Mark chapter 10, verse 27. Mark chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." The title for this evening is The Challenge of Christianity. The Challenge of Christianity. There is something that is happening more and more if we read the papers, if we hear the news. Perhaps it's not rare to find an article that said Britain really is ceasing to be a Christian country. I think that was The Guardian. Another headline was Christianity is literally dying. Islam to become biggest faith. And that is something going on, and we can read that on the papers. There is nothing new in the decline of the church, but until recently it has been a slow decline, but last year there was a report. And then the report was based that basically many churches have been closed, they are closing down churches, chapel, and they have been converted. The future will be houses, flats, they will be a school, they could be a pub. And that is something that is happening, and we cannot deny it. Last year, this report says that for the very first time in recorded history, those declaring themselves to have no religion has exceeded the number of Christians in Great Britain. Some 44% of us regard ourselves as a Christians. 8% follow another religion, and 48% follow none. So they outnumber Christianity. And the decline of Christianity is perhaps the biggest and single challenge in Great Britain over the past century. For some time, it has been, they say, Great Britain is a Christian country, but we can accurately say one report, that now is as a secular nation with fading Christian institutions. Now, why we are experiencing this increasing failure of organized Christianity to appeal people to come to churches, to come to the Lord? The reality is this, this is my personal opinion, that at some point when the church start preaching the gospel, what is the gospel? This is the gospel. That Jesus came, he's the Son of the living God, he died on that cross, he shed his blood, he was buried, but he's risen, he's coming back. At some point, that message is going to be offensive. That message is going to cause trouble. This message either attracts or repels. You either join the church and you fight for the church, you are in fight for the church, or you hate the church and persecute it. If you feel that you can save yourself, that you are good, then you will reject this message. Because this message will insult you. It will annoy you. You know why? The reason why this is a sad reality. I don't want to make you feel gloomy tonight, but this is the sad reality. Because the predominant and favorite view in the world, and also in the church sometimes, is that every person has developed his or her own God. And there is a preacher in America, Paul Washer. Some people think that he's gloomy. I like him, how he preached, perhaps because he preached in Spanish as well. He was a missionary in Peru. And Paul Washer He says this about America. Sunday morning is the greatest hour of idolatry in the entire week in America. I will say also here, in other parts of the world. Because people are not worshiping the one true God, but are worshiping a God formed out of their own heart, by their own flesh. They have made a God just like themselves. They created a God in their own likeness, and they worship the God they have made. And you know, this is how it works. Sometimes Paul Washer said, don't invite me to preach to your church, because I go to your church and I preach the gospel and I divide the church. Because the gospel is offensive. And then they say, when we preach the gospel, some people in the church say, oh, that's not my God. That's not my God. My God doesn't think like that. So they create a God. Don't say that. Put it under the carpet. That's the sad reality, my friends. So we have a dilemma. Hence the title, The Challenge of Christianity. It seems to me that there is a picture of movement. Like once Martin Lloyd-Joyce says, you know, this is like an evolution going on, a transition that takes place at all levels in our society, with institutions changing. You know, now in the past it was difficult, but now, for example, if you are unwell, we have hospitals. Praise the Lord. If you don't have a job and you don't have a house, you have benefits and you go and praise the Lord. And then people start thinking, oh, well, we have more right. Women have more right. Praise the Lord. Children have more right. Praise the Lord. So we are moving forward. They say, well, the church has to move forward. The church has to change. Is the old message still relevant? What is it that the church is called to do? You know, in the middle of this evolution and changes is the same message. Because the Bible says Jesus is the same. It's the same message. The world can move wherever they want to do, but the message is the same. The church is not called to change. The church is called to preach the gospel as it was preached before. What is the problem with Christianity? That more and more people believe less and less in the power of the gospel, in the power of the blood of Jesus, and we trust in what we can achieve. Our text this evening is from Mark chapter 10. And also, it's another verse in Matthew chapter 19. So I'm going to be reflecting on those. This account that we read this morning is a continuation of this morning. So, you know, here, before I read that, this is the context of the verses that we just read. You know, we read from Mark, but also from Matthew. If I read in Matthew, let's go to Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. This is the context of the words of Jesus. When Jesus says, what is impossible with man is possible with God. With God, everything is possible. So let's go to Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. The disciples are listening to Jesus. And then at the end of chapter 18, Jesus says, I am reading verse 21 and 22. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And I can see Peter. I always picture, I don't know you, I picture Peter like, you know, this is Peter. Like, I'm the first one. And now he's saying, impossible. This is not possible. I cannot forgive somebody who is annoying me. Somebody who has hurt me. This is a challenge. It's impossible. Now, if we go to chapter 19, carry on in Matthew chapter 9, you know, 19. If we read, let me see if I got it right, 19 verses 8 and 9. Again, carry on. This is the context of divorce of Jesus. Now, here, Jesus is teaching about divorce. And now, Jesus, I'm going to read from verse 8. Matthew chapter 19, verses 8. Jesus replied, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard, but it was not his way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality, he marries another woman, commits adultery. Jesus said, no divorce. Unless she's being unfaithful, and why I don't want to, I don't want to get sidetracked here, but I believe the understanding of how husband and wife have to be treating each other. And there are cases that we need to be careful when there have been so much abuse that it's dangerous to leave either a woman or a man who has been abused. But the teaching is hard. This teaching is impossible. The disciples were, wait a minute. They said, it will be better not to get married. They said, if you have to keep each other for forever, forget it. It's impossible. And the context here, the context of the Mark chapter 10, 17 and 22, and Matthew 19, 16 to 22, we read the account of this young man, the young man we read this morning. And this man is the classic example of someone who thought that being saved was like the balancing scale. You remember this morning? That he was good enough to be okay with God. So that was an easy ride. There are so many people like this young man, the young rich ruler. There are so many people. They think they are going to win the applause, the approval of God. But Jesus' teaching was almost impossible. Now, we know that, as I said this morning, the problem was not that he was rich. Abraham was rich, David was rich, and that was not the problem. The problem was that he put his wealth above Jesus. And then for the rich young man, his other God was wealth. Love of money was the evil hiding in his heart, and he didn't want to let it go. So Jesus says, hey, this is what you are to do. You need to obey me, you need to deny yourself, and you need to follow me. Now, this young man walks away sad. He didn't want to take this teaching because for him it was impossible. Jesus touched where it hurts. And that is the gospel. It touches when it hurts. And we have two options. Either to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow, or walk away like this young man. So let's go back to Matthew, okay? That is, I don't want to get sidetracked. And now, when the disciples hear this, they said, this is hard. Who then can be saved? This is impossible. So Jesus says, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. And just as to make sure, if you read a little bit before, I know reading that, he starts talking, about, he says, it's harder for a camel, the largest animal they have, will have to around there to get through the eye of the needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. And in the people start, in the past, people say, well, the eye of the needle is a certain city gate called Eye of the Needle, and that's the problem. But no, that, to me, that's not the point. The point is this. When we have, like this man, something in our life, we don't want to surrender it, so it becomes something big that it will be difficult to go through that. For this man was his wealth. For us, sometimes there is something in our life that we don't want to let it go. Maybe it's our culture, maybe it's our character, maybe it's a sin. Maybe there is something. But Jesus said, hey, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Jesus says, with man on your own, it is impossible. You cannot do it. It's awesome that God specializes in impossibilities. He says, you are not alone. I am with you. Don't be afraid and don't worry. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what you are going to eat. Don't worry about where you are going to sleep. Don't worry about what others do. You don't have to worry. What is impossible with man will be possible. My friends, when you live sometimes and you are with people who have nothing, you can see the gospel working. And sometimes we want to be sympathetic with people. We want to help them. But there was a man who, if we see the circumstances, you will say, this man is going to end up as a criminal. And sometimes I wonder, as I always say, I would like to be somebody. I would like to be a doctor to help somebody to cure him or to cure, you know, to help him to be well. I would like to be an engineer to design a bridge and to build a bridge. But then when I find situations like I'm going to describe in the moment, Sergio was a young man, and he came to one of the youth. We have a youth meeting, and sometimes God bless us with a lot of young people. And one day he came. He was crying. He was only 19 years old, and he was married already. He has 2 children, and he said, "Freddy, my wife left me. I don't have a job, and I tried to help him, and I don't know what to do." And so we went to the church. We tried to find a job for him. And one evening, I was coming back with some of my friends from the Navy. We were in one car, and we were going. It was late, and then we heard a bang in the car that we were driving, and there was a motorbike. You know, it was about 1 in the morning, and then there he was. On the floor, there were many notes of money. And then there were 2 men. And then Sergio was around. So it was obvious that they were coming, they were doing something dodgy. And then we all get off the car, and they knew that we were naval people, and then The atmosphere was tense, and Sergio came, and I saw his face. And for some reason, I don't know why, I said to him, and I said to the others, "You, everyone be quiet." I said, "Sergio, you better get off here. I don't want to know who is this man, and I want you to trust that God has to operate a miracle in your life. And this is your last chance." I don't know why I say it. The young man disappeared. After a few weeks and months, we managed to get a job for him. And you know what? He started to work. Said he will come to church. He painted the church. He said, "The only thing I know," he says, "is to paint." "Then that is your talent, and you are going to use it. Don't worry." God bless him with a job. He painted the church. His wife left him because, you know, he was nobody. When I went back after a few years, you know who is he now? He has a company that employs 16 people. And what is it that they do? Painting, decorating. They have contracts with the government. They have, you know. And he attended a church. He remarried. When I saw him that evening, perhaps somebody saw a criminal. What I saw was a son of God, a child of God. What I'm trying to tell you is this. It's gloomy, the picture. How is that possible that there will be revival here in this land again? If you want to do it on your own, it will not be possible. But with God, it's possible. How is that possible? It is impossible from the world's perspective, as when I see this guy on that evening, that I only people could see a criminal. I saw somebody who is blessing people now. He's a member of a church. He's helping people. But if he wanted to do it on his own, it will be impossible. But the challenge of Christianity is today the same that we have in 1740. We have been there. Let me read this to you. That I read it the other night as well in one of the other sermons here. Let me read it because I am passionate about this. It was true in Great Britain in 1740. It was the worst of time. At the height of the Industrial Revolution, before the introduction of trade unions of any counterbalancing force, the rich were getting richer and the poor were being crushed. Children were being sent into mines at the age of 5 or 6, putting on 14 or 16 hours a day in some part of London. Can you imagine 1740s? In some part of London, every building was either a brothel or a pub. In fact, religion has sunk so low in the British island that on Easter Sunday, 1740, only 6 people show up for communion at St. Paul's Cathedral in London. 1740. In yet 1734, God raised up a young man by the name of Howell Harris in Wales. In 1738, George Whitfield began to preach to the coal miners in Bristol. In 1740, the Wesley brothers started to preach. In over 60 years, revival came to this island. What did they preach? The gospel. And you can carry on reading. And out of that revival, many things came to this country that they were a blessing. Some people have impossibilities they are facing. Maybe some of you have something from the human perspective. You don't know what to do. You say, this is impossible. How is God going to step into my life? I have this addiction. I don't know what to do. I have this problem with my morality. I don't know what to do. It's possible with God. Nothing is impossible with Jesus. With Jesus, all things are possible. And that is what I'm going just to share with you this evening before I finish. You know, Paul figured it out. Paul says, shall we read together Philippians 4:13? Shall we read it together? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's not saying, I can do this if we have a new theology. I can do this because if I have a new movement. I can do this if I have a good psychologist. No. I can do all things through whom? Through Christ who strengthens me. And that is the gospel the church should be preaching. That is what I am called to preach. Maybe you have a bill. You don't know how you're going to make ends meet tonight. And then maybe you have a marriage on the rocks. You are struggling with your marriage. Maybe you have a family situation that is a situation without a solution. Maybe you have an unhealthy addiction. Maybe you have an anger issue. Maybe you're afraid. Say, what is going on? What is going on? With God, everything is possible. Jesus said to the disciples and says, you and me tonight, you know, it's possible with me. And Lord knows, perhaps you try. The Lord knows that you have tried your life and your children are failing you. Bow your knees and pray for your children. With God, everything is possible. Even if you are not able to see the miracle. My grandfather on my mom's side, his only son, my father died leaving a church of 500 members. And his only son, he will not come to church. You see the pain that my grandfather has in his heart? That his only son, his 4 daughters will come, my mom included, but he will not. And he's a fine lead guitar in the country, and he was out in the world. You know, my father, I remember one afternoon we were sitting, and he said, Freddie, the only thing we need to do is to pray. And to pray, and to pray. Obey, and obey, and obey. And use the gift that you have. the Lord will answer my prayer. My grandpa died. My grandma died. 3 years later, my uncle received Jesus. 62 years old, he got baptized. His prayers were answered. And now he is walking with the Lord, regretting the years that he did not enjoy his dad. My friend, do you have an impossibility in life? We cannot change ourselves. Pray for your grandchildren. Pray for your children. Pray earnestly. We cannot control our loss and passions and desires, our temper. With men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. This young ruler, he was a good person. He was a good citizen. But he tried to do it on his own. It's only when we come to him that we can enjoy the blessings that God has prepared for us. From me, my desire is just to preach the gospel, and just the gospel. Because if I don't preach it, I will not be able to give glory and honor to God. I will never give glory and honor to people. I don't expect people to, you know, being a pastor is an awful job. I don't know why I did this. If you do something, they say, why you do it? If you don't do it, why you don't do it? If you have a service this way, people will criticize it because you do it that way. If you do it that way, why you don't do it that way? If you dress the way I dress, they say, why you dressing that? Why you dress down? And you name it. I don't care, like George Mueller, what the people says. What I do care and I tremble is to do God's will. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by the power of religion. Great Britain will be blessed again the moment the churches preach the gospel and no idolatry. That when they manufacture a God, my God is like this. Well, that's your God. I worship Yahweh. And it's tough. The disciples say, this is impossible. Yes. With the Spirit of God, it's all possible. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. That's the challenge of Christianity. So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Spirit. I can tell you this in my short life, how many things I have seen, how the gospel can change people. Not being nice, the gospel. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we read the headlines and more there are channels, there are radio stations, there are newspapers that try to undermine Christianity. Oh, Lord. But we know the power of the gospel, the power of the blood of Jesus, the power of what he did on that beautiful day, that the greatest day in history. Father, I pray that we will be able to trust in the power of the gospel. I pray for that person that is struggling with his or her finance, her health, her life. Oh, Father, that this person may surrender to you, to be obedient to you, and just to rely on your Spirit to change, to overcome the flesh, to overcome the circumstances. Oh, Father, help us not to be like the disciples in that moment when they said, this is impossible. But later they were so powerful preaching the gospel. Father, help us to be that people. People that we will respond to the challenge of the gospel, particularly here in Great Britain. That one day, when they are writing history, they will say that here in 2017, 2018, 2020, there was revival again. Because people in churches, they preach the gospel just to give you glory and honor. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.